Hello everyone, thank you for joining me. My name is Solomon Briss. This is Marking Without Reflection for Kotlin Multiplatform. And before we start, I just want to thank the FOSDEM Kotlin Room for having me. So, as I said, my name is Solomon Briss and I am the founder of Coding Coders. So Coding Coders is a company that is dedicated to Kotlin Multiplatform. And in fact, we were the first company in Europe to be certified by JetBrains for our Kotlin training. So if you need any kind of Kotlin multi-platform services, whether training or consulting, please be sure to contact us. The flip side of Coding Coders is the Coding Open Source Initiative. So it's a list, it's a set of libraries that are for Kotlin multi-platform, and the goal of the Coding Open Source Initiative is to provide the community with high-level components for Kotlin multi-platform. And these high-level components work for Android, iOS, the web, server-side, and desktop platform. So basically everywhere Kotlin can compile to. Today, I'm going to be talking about a library of the of Codeine called MockKMP. So MockKMP is a mocking library for Kotlin multi-platform that works everywhere Kotlin can compile. So let's have a look at it. So let's start with another mocking library, such as mock with 2k. So mock is a library that is pretty standard and that is very used in the Kotlin JVM and Kotlin Android side. And for good reason, it is an amazing library and it allows to create mocks of interfaces or classes. So for example, here I'm creating the mock of a repository class, and it uses runtime reflection to do so. And it also uses runtime manipulation. So it reflects on the repository interface, and it uses runtime manipulation to, at runtime, create a mock of this interface, meaning create a subclass that didn't exist in sources, so didn't exist at compile time. And the problem is that neither reflection nor runtime manipulation is available on Kotlin multiplatform. So let me rephrase that. Neither runtime reflection nor runtime manipulation are available for Kotlin native. And since Kotlin multiplatform is the most common denominator for Kotlin native, Kotlin JVM, and Kotlin JS. And since we cannot have runtime reflection and runtime manipulation on Kotlin native, there are no reflection and manipulation on Kotlin multiplatform, which means that up until now, there wasn't really a mocking library for Kotlin multiplatform. And so enter Google Kotlin Symbol Processor API. So KSP is an API developed by Google, and that allows to read source code at compile time, which is really useful because it also allows to generate code accordingly, meaning code according to the source that we read at compile time. So basically, that's a Kotlin compiler plugin, right? So what's the difference between a Kotlin symbol processor and a Kotlin compiler plugin? Well, the difference is that KSP offers a stable API and KSP allows to generate Kotlin code. Because with Kotlin compiler plugins, the API is not stable, so it keeps changing. And most importantly, you don't generate Kotlin code, you generate IR code, which is intermediate representation code. So basically you don't generate Kotlin code, you have to generate this intermediate representation that's very hard to understand. And so now KSP is compatible with Kotlin multiplatform, which means that we can read source at compile time, generate Kotlin code that will be compiled alongside the read source code at compile time, and it's compatible with Kotlin multiplatform. So there really is no reason not to use it. So let's see how it works, right? We have a database interface with a store function. And a database mock will implement this database interface. And the question is, what do we put in this store function that takes a model as parameter? So basically, what mockamp does is delegates everything to a mocker, right? So there's a mocker which will hold the business interpretation of the mock. And so, of course, the mock implementation needs a mocker parameter, constructor parameter. And then all the implementation does is delegate to this mocker the business implementation of the function. Note that it returns the same value, so the mocker is not only responsible for the business implementation, but it is also responsible for the return value of the store function. So now let's say we have a load function. We can implement it the same way. The difference is mocker register can now return a unit for the store function, and it returns a model for a load function. So just as I was saying, the mocker is responsible for the return value. And so it needs to be cast. And finally, there's no reason not to apply this scheme to properties. So even if an interface declares a properties, the mock implementation will delegate the access to this property to the mocker. Note that here we use get colon file path as the function name so that it becomes clear if it was the getter or the setter. MockAMP also supports faking. So what we call a fake is basically a data class filled with inconsequential data. So for example, here, if we have a model data class, we can have a function fake model that generates this data class with inconsequential data. So in this example, strings are always empty. Any kind of numeric value is always zero. Of course, a fake data can contain fake data. And if data contains an enum, then the enum value will be set to the first declared value of that enum, and booleans will be false, and of course anything that's nullable will be actually null. So this fake model function creates a model data that holds nothing really, but it makes it very easy to create data classes for unit tests without having to manually fill them with inconsequential data. And so here what a MockAMP test would look like. So it seems daunting. It really isn't. Let's have a look more precisely at what it offers. The first thing to note is that this MyTests test class now inherit tests with mocks. So test with mock is an abstract class that provides useful helpers for test classes. It is completely optional, and you can absolutely use MockAMP without this test with mocks abstract class. It's just easier to use MockAMP with it, but you don't have to if you don't want to. And the tests with mock abstract class requires you to override a function called setup mocks. And the way you will implement this setup mocks function should always be the same. It is by calling the inject mocks function. Now, we'll see in a minute that inject mocks is a function that's actually generated by the Kotlin symbol processor, so you won't write it, but because it's an abstract class and because inject mocks actually depends on the MyTest class, so what the KSP, what the symbol processor actually generates is an extension function on the MyTest class here, for example, so this abstract class cannot at compile time know what function will contain the business implementation of the injector. So that's why you have to manually write it. So you'll always write setup mux equals inject mux, but you have to, because KSP generates a different inject mux function for each of your test classes. And then you can declare whatever mock and fake you will be using inside your unit test. So here, for example, I declare that I will be using a view mock. So view must be an interface, and I declare that model will be faked. So model is a data class. So while we're here, I want to emphasize a very important limitation of the MockAMP symbol processor. It can only generate mocks for interfaces. It cannot generate mocks for abstract class or classes or open classes. And the reason for that is that it cannot open a class that is not already open. So it would work only for open classes, but opening your class just so that you can mock them is obviously a design smell. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't alter your code just so it can be tested. You shouldn't give the ability for everyone to implement to inherit from a class just so that your test class can. So instead of encouraging a design smell, we made the decision that only interfaces can be mocked. And the reason that only And the second limitation is that you can only fake concrete data classes, which means that you can only fake the data that contains only concrete data. You cannot fake a data class that would contain an interface, for example, because faking a data doesn't depend on a mocker, and creating a mock does depend on a mocker. So these are two complete different things. And if you want to fake a data class, it needs to hold only concrete data, meaning primitives, strings, and other concrete data. So the third line here is pretty important. It declares that our test will be using a controller, and that this controller will use our mocks and fakes. So it uses the withMock function. Now, what's interesting about this syntax is that the testWithMock abstract class helper will actually reset the mocks, the fakes, and of course the every object that uses with mocks between every function. It uses for that a before test hook. So by using with mock, you can declare objects that will use those mocks and that will be reset between each test, so that you can be sure to use a fresh instance in each test. And then once you have declared the mocks and objects that you are going to use, then you just have to use them. So MockAMP offer a very standard way of declaring your mock and your business logic in it. So this every view render returns true is pretty classic. So here, for example, we define that when the view render mock is called, then it simply returns true. And then we start the controller, and then we expect the view render to have been called. But of course, this is a test, so we need to validate our assertion. And so we verify that view render was called. Note here that we pass the model in the verification, so the MockAMP runtime will actually verify that the render method has been called on the view mock with this actual argument, with the model argument. So if it has been called with any other type, any other argument, then it will fail. So this inject mocks is generated because we have this atmock and atfake annotation. And basically, the MockAMP symbol processor will generate an inject mock function for every class that holds at least one of these two annotations. So let's see what is generated. And as you can see, it's pretty simple. It's a simple function that says, okay, so this myTest class has two properties that are view and model. And so it's simply creates a new mock and a new fake for each of these properties. And note that it is an extension function on the myTest class. So that's why here we need to call it in setup mocks. It's an extension function, so it's specific for your test. So mock K, the JVM runtime mocking library, offers this API. And even though we've made the decision to provide an API that resembles that is immediately understandable to everyone who has already used a mocking framework, we also decided to offer some API differences because they seemed more semantic to us. So one of these differences, for example, that justRuns doesn't exist in MockAMP. This is Kotlin. A function doesn't just run, it never just runs. A function always returns something. So if it returns nothing, it actually retains it returns a unit. So says so. When a function returns a unit, declare that it returns unit. You can also, of course, declare that it runs a lambda and so that it will provide some kind of business logic. But note that there are no relaxed modes. This means that everything must be explicit. In essence, you cannot create a mock and say, okay, every function returns nothing or returns unit or returns a fake or whatever. You have to be explicit. And the reason for that is that there are no way to create an object with its class at runtime in Kotlin Multiplatform and in Kotlin Native. So you always need to be explicit because MockAMP can't create objects that are then usable by your test without having the constructor. So you need to construct them. Let's have a look at the verification API, because that's another way where we allowed ourselves to differ from the usual API. So by default, verify is exhaustive, which means that if I write this, this is not an empty verification. This actually verifies that no mocker function was called. No mocked function was called, sorry. So if any mocked function was called here, it will fail because by default, verify is exhaustive. So if you want, for example, you could write this, and this would mean that you are verifying that controller.start was called and that controller was top.call was called and that nothing else, or at least no other mocked function was called. Of course, if you declare exhaustive to be false, then what you're saying is that you are verifying that those two methods were called, but other methods may have been called and that wouldn't be an issue. Note also, and this is very important, that verify is ordered by default. This means that here I am verifying that controller start was called before controller stop in this order. If I don't want to verify in order, then of course I can say so. So as you may have noticed, we have argument constraint, which means that you can mock and verify by defining an argument constraint that will validate or not when the function is called. In essence, here I'm saying that I want to mock viewRender for any kind of argument. So the argument doesn't matter. And here I'm verifying that viewRender was called with any argument, whatever the argument. So MockAMP provides multiple argument constraints. Is any, is not null, that does what it says. And you can also pass directly the value instead of is equal. So is equal is supported, but you can pass directly the value. There is, however, a very important limitation. For methods that take multiple arguments, you need to either pass all arguments as value or as argument constraint. You cannot mix and match values and argument constraints. And this is, once again, a limitation of the Kotlin native runtime that forces us to enforce this limitation. And note that you can generate your own argument constraints. So here, for example, I'm creating the is strictly positive argument constraints. So the syntax is a bit weird, but basically what I'm saying is that it has to apply on an arg constraint builder. So that's because you want to be able to call this function only within a verify block. And it uses this is valid function that allows you to define an argument constraint. And then it results either a success or a failure with a message. And with argument constraint, you can capture argument with argument list, with capture list. So how does it work? Let's take this as an example. Here I'm mocking the delegate.session method for any argument, and I'm calling controller.startNewSession. And what is expected is for the delegate session to be called with the session that the controller will create. Now, what I want to do is close the session properly when the test ends, but that means that I need to have access to the session. So to do that, I can create an array list of session and pass it as a capture list. What it will do is that it will fill the list with the argument at each call. So at the first call, it will add the session to the array list. And if there's a second call, then the array list will contain two sessions, one that was passed at the first call and one that was passed at the second call. So once I've declared a capture list, I can access the the argument that was passed and captured in this list, and I can properly close the session. So as you can see, capture list can be very useful. Now, you can use capture list in verify, and that's very useful so that you can verify that the method was called and then access the argument that was captured in the verify block. But if you want to skip the verify because maybe your test is not about verifying that the method was called, maybe this verification has been done in another test, you can also pass the capture list in the every block. So here I call controller.startNewSession and I don't verify anything because I assume that delegate.session has been called, and I would have probably checked that in another test, and then I get the session and I properly close it. So you can use capture list either in the every block or in the verify block. So how do you use MoKMP? Well, the easiest way of using MoKMP is to apply the Gradle plugin for it. And what this Gradle plugin does is multiple things. First, it applies the KSP Gradle plugin. And then, of course, it adds the MoKMP processor KSP dependency so that the MoKMP processor will be run against your code at compile time. Then it adds the MoKMP runtime implementation dependency. And then it adds the MoKMP helper implementation dependency, because the helper class is in a different artifact because you don't have to use it. And in fact, the Gradle plugin does provide you with a way to not depend on this helper implementation. Now, there is a bug in KSP that prevents KSP from working on common test sources. And I won't go into detail as to why, mainly because I don't fully understand. But the fact is that you can run KSP for a lot of source sets, but not for common tests. So the trick is to add the KSP dependency only to the JVM sources, and then the Gradle plugin configures all test source sets to use the generated sources. So this is a bit weird, and this is described in the MoKMP documentation, but basically the plugin applies the MoKMP generator in a way that circumvents the issue of KSP. And of course, once this issue will be fixed. The Gradle plugin will be updated to apply KSP normally and not with this weird trick. Well, that's it for me. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much to Fosdem Kotlin for inviting me. I hope you've learned something. Note that this presentation is a web-based presentation. I'm actually in Chrome here, and if you want, it's written in Kotlin Compose for JavaScript. So if you want to access it, you can use this URL and you'll find the presentation and you can access all source code example. Thank you again, and I hope I'll see you on the internet.